Matthew 24, verse 14. You know, before Jesus Christ finalized his wonderful work in redeeming mankind, he was encouraging the believers to continue in what he started. And what he started was spreading the good news, teaching God's word, teaching the good news of salvation. And here in verse 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in," where? "All the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So, preach God's word, get the word out, and what's going to happen after that? Yeah, Christ is coming back. So if you want Christ to get back a little sooner, we'll get out there and we'll preach the gospel a little bit more. And this was a message Jesus Christ was sharing before, you know, he gave his life on Calvary. It says in Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I think that's figure of speech for people. Not necessarily all the animals and everything, but just to the people. Preach the gospel, and you go into all the world. Let's go to Luke, if you would, 24. Luke 24, verse 45. In Luke 24, 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among," how many nations? All nations beginning at Jerusalem. So beginning at Jerusalem, the word of God, this great message of repentance and remission of sins should be preached. So let's go to Acts, because Acts chapter 1 puts them in Jerusalem. You know, this wonderful encouragement of holding forth the gospel, teaching the word, sharing the message of repentance and remission of sins was a big deal, knowing that once this was over with, Christ would come back. You know, I think Christ wants to come back just as bad as we want him to. Just get us all together. So here in chapter 1, verse 8, one of the very last things that the Lord Jesus Christ says in his resurrected body, ready to be ascended up to the Heavenly Father, to his right hand, he says something very important. It has to be important. It's one of the last things that he says. Verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, is come upon you. When you receive this Holy Spirit, you've got power. "And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto," where? "The uttermost part of the earth," everywhere, everywhere. You're going to be witnesses. It doesn't say you should be witnesses. You are witnesses. Once you get Holy Spirit, you're a witness. I mean, actually, we're witnesses of our life no matter what we're doing, 24/7, aren't we? I mean, people look at us, they read our lives, and they think different things, I guess. You know, we're very judgmental these days. Of course, believers shouldn't be judgmental, should we? The only thing we should judge in one another, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? That's what we should see in each other. It's Christ in you, not all the other paraphernalia of the flesh. That's the flesh. That's other stuff. But look at the excitement of the calling for those wonderful believers at that time, that they're going to have power to do it. It's not like Jesus said, you're going to go out and witness to the world. He says, I'm going to give you Holy Spirit. He said that earlier, didn't he? He said, I'm going to my Father, right? And you're going to receive a comforter. And the things that I do, you shall do, and greater things you shall do. You're going to be teaching people, sharing with people the new birth realities. Those are one of the greater things we were going to be able to do. So this idea of holding forth God's word is a commission that each and every believer has. And we've been charged to utilize Holy Spirit to do it. We don't have to go to some witnessing school or anything. We've got Holy Spirit in us. And with that Holy Spirit, we can walk and talk with the Father, and He can work within our life to minister and to teach and to be great witnesses. Great witnesses. You know, this is our destiny. It's our legacy, is to hold forth the words of life. There's a wonderful quote. It says, better than fame and applause is striving to further God's cause. That's what we want to be known for. That should be our legacy, that He held forth the words of life. She held forth God's word. That's our legacy. You know, we know 1 Timothy 2:4, right? What's 1 Timothy 2:4? Who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's heart's desire is that everybody gets born again and comes to a knowledge of the truth so they know how to walk in the power of that Holy Spirit they have within. Let's go to Philippians, if you would, please. So we have been charged and given the great, wonderful privilege and opportunity to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of people think, you mean I got to go out on the streets and share the Bible and give out tracts and things like that? No. Again, you're witnesses, right? No matter what you're doing, you're a witness. We are read of, people read our lives. You know, witnessing, I see it in two forms. Number one is just living the word, living the life of a wonderful believer, and people see that, and they recognize that, boy, there's something going on in that person's life. I want to check it out. And they ask you, what's going on? You know, what makes you smile all the time? Why aren't you bummed out about all the problems of the world? And then you can share with them the good news. The good news. So it's a great privilege for us to do that. To live the word. And then number two, to speak the word. To just simply share with people God's word. Let's go to, you're there, aren't you? Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we get to have God working within us. We don't have to figure it all out. God works within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure is all men saved come to a knowledge of the truth, right? So we have that opportunity to hear from God. You know, God told me to go to this website to get this information to share with you today. It's exciting. Those kind of things can go on day in and day out for us in our walk with the Heavenly Father. What did He say in the manifestations? Good Lordy, He wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to be so intimate one with another, with Him. Wow. Let's take heart to that. Let's experience that. All right, God works within us to will and do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? So we hold forth the word. You shine as lights in this world, doing what? Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. You don't have to go out and do some teaching for people. Meet people, talk to people, and share your life with them. God will tell you what verses to share or what to say, right? So it's really easy. It's an exciting lifestyle in holding forth the words of life. And look at the rest of this verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I don't know what that, you know, how you interpret that, but it seems like everything else is not as valuable than that of holding forth the words of life. There's nothing greater you ever will do for somebody than to share the words of life. They get born again of God's Spirit and go from death unto life. You're going to hear a story later on. Oh, it's a great story about this happening. And all of you have experienced this anyway, haven't you? You all were dead one time, and somebody shared with you the words of life, and you got born again of God's Spirit. You have eternal life. You have the hope of Christ's return. Wow! And you have the charge and privilege to hold forth the words of life. No greater thing will you do for anybody than to do that. To do that. And labored in vain, right? Until Christ comes back. So holding forth the words of life. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. This kind of sets it very simply here in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, I didn't write the book there, right? We try to do a lot of neat things in the flesh, don't we? But that's not what's going to please God. What's going to please God is that we walk by the Spirit. And then as the flesh does what the Spirit says, we'll be pleasing unto Him. Okay. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Spirit dwell in you? Can you speak in tongues? Yeah, you know for a surety that the Spirit's inside of you. So, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He is none of His. You gotta have that Spirit to have eternal life, to have life with God. Wow. So, so important. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of righteousness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. You know, as you're going to 2 Corinthians, you're going to go by 1 Corinthians, and we could stop, but we're not. I'd like for you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or chapter 2 rather. But in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, it talks about that you were bought with a price. You're not your own. And that's in, just so for your reference, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, that you are bought with a price, you belong to the Father, you don't even belong to yourself. Isn't that wild? You belong to God forever and ever and ever. But, so, we belong to Him, and we get to do what He's called us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which sometimes causes us to triumph in Christ. Right? No, which always, always, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Anything we do in Christ, are we going to have stumbling? Are we going to get hurt? No. Causes us to triumph, always. Causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. How does he smell? I don't know, but it's got to be good. Ah, Christ in you. You know, walk into a believer's meeting, you take a deep breath. Ah, Christ in you. Boy, there they are. You got to get spiritual minded, right? All right, spiritually, that's what it is. All right, so we are a sweet savor to Christ. We smell good because we've got Christ in us. And we're special to God. He has called us to do great and wonderful things. Look at chapter 3. We're going to jump around a little bit. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also maketh us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay? You see, we have Christ in us. That's life. We minister to that. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience to the sight of God, in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but who? Christ. You know, we live the life that God has given us. We are witnesses in how we live our life. But when we talk the things of God, we want to get it to Christ real quick. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Let's go to chapter 5, verse 14. You know, I mentioned to you about witnessing and living it, and then on the second part of it, just speaking the word with people. And I don't know, I just thought of a little formula here. I want to share this with you as far as, you know, thinking about sharing the word with people. And what do people do when you meet someone? You say, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, you ask that, how are you doing? And they say, oh, okay, I guess. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing super. Whoa. They get taken back. So what are they going to ask next, you think? Why? Why? Well, I just got a great relationship with the Heavenly Father. Or, you know, just something that you are comfortable with to respond why you're blessed. Because God's word's so great. I got Christ in me. Or just whatever, you know, is your thing. It might get to the situation too where they say, I'm doing good myself. You know, they might say, well, I'm doing great too. And of course, let's say you haven't said anything yet about God, okay? And they say, hey, I'm doing great. Well, I'll be. You must have a great relationship with God Almighty. You must love God. You know? Just little tidbits there. Some things to think about. And that's good. It's not, it, you know, we need to think what we're comfortable with the idea of sharing the word with people. You know, reaching out to people. Reaching out to help people come to the point where they can get born again of God's Spirit. All right, chapter 5, verse 14 here. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, right? A new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have the ministry of reconciliation. That's our calling. That's our destiny, if you will. And not only the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the word unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So we are ambassadors. God has called us. He's given us a ministry. And if he's given us something, he's going to work with us on it. He's not going to give you something and leave you high and dry. He's going to work with you. He's going to work with you. Let's go to Thessalonians. We're going to close there. Thessalonians 2. I trust you're getting the point here. What is on my heart, and I believe God's desire for us to know together, is the wonderful privilege we have to hold forth the words of life. And that we do it, that we really enjoy doing it. And look at 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And then I'm going to have Al come up, and he's going to share with you some things, practical examples or testimonies of what we've been talking about here. Okay? So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? God has allowed us, he's approved us to be put in trust of his wonderful, matchless word. He's given it to us. He's entrusted it to us. So we speak it not as pleasing men, but God. We want to please God in our life, right? Well, yes. We always want to please him. We want to please him in all that we do. Well, these are some of the things was on my heart to share with you this morning. And I've asked Al to share some things that he's experienced that I think might put some of what I've shared from God's Word in a practical sense. So, Al, why don't you come on up? Thanks, Bob.
Good morning, everyone. Time to wake you up a little bit. I'm going to say a few statements, and your response is, yes, he is, okay? In unison, okay?
Watch
God
this.
Is good.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
God is love.
Yes, he is.
I belong to God.
Yes, I do.
I just checking in with you and paying attention.
This morning, I wanted to share the practical end of what Bob just touched on, but a couple of things came to mind, and one of them was when Bob was saying, how do we start when we're going to share or witness to someone? And I have many different ways, but I'm going to give you a couple that seem to work every time. And one of them is, when you see someone at work, especially at work or at school, when you're around those people you're around every day, and you see them grimacing for whatever reason, pain, physical, pain, mental, pain, spiritual, a good way to open up is to simply say, and Jeannie does this all the time, is, can I pray for you? And I promise you, I won't say maybe, I promise you, you will never hear someone say, get out of my face, are you nuts? No, every time I've done it, it never ceases to fail. They say, yeah, yeah, or why didn't I think of that? Well, let's do it. And that's your door that opens up to sharing God's word with them. The other thing I do from time to time is when I hear somebody at work, and I hear this all the time, I don't know about where you work, but where I work, people are always complaining about this and that, the union this, the boss is this, this, that. And I say, you know what? Would you like a better option? And they go, yeah, what? I said, how about trying my Heavenly Father? With him, all things are what?
Possible.
That's another avenue we can use to share and witness God's word. And like Bob said, whatever makes you feel comfortable, don't hesitate. Because there's people out there that are drowning, and unless you throw them God's word, they're going to die. Simple. Have you ever been to a pool? Sure. You've been to the beach? Sure. If you saw someone drowning, would you go, oh, I'm too embarrassed to save them? Of course not. You're going to jump in there and help them. Well, we've got life eternal to offer people. God has made it possible for us to do that. So anyway, those are just some of the things that you can start your witnessing with people around you. Okay? Now, what I wanted to share was something that has brought great, great joy to Shati and my heart. And believe it or not, I even gave it a title. I call this Alicia Kept It. And you'll see why. Alicia Kept It. The best act we could ever do is holding forth this precious word of God. That's the best thing you could ever do in your life. Anything else doesn't compare. This morning we were talking about being a witness. Well, my wife and I, we share the same joy in witnessing and under shepherding Alicia, our international student. So here I was, when it comes to witnessing, putting myself in a box, saying, okay, who can I witness to in San Diego? And God was going, no, you're going to go a lot farther than that. As a matter of fact, I'm bringing you someone all the way from China. I had no clue. All I knew then was we were making it available for room and board for someone from another country to come and learn English and other things here in the United States. Okay? Alicia came knowing a little about a false God and now is living the one true God every day. Every day. So the story goes like this, and I have to start out this way. I said to you that I've always prayed for a hungry soul, and I'm sure you do the same. Well, this prayer was answered by a phone call I received one morning, and the phone call was from Jeannie. Jeannie asked me, would we be interested in hosting a student from afar? So I said, let me talk to Shati about that, because that's what we do. We talk about things before a decision is made. So we said, yeah, let's give this a shot. So we did. And this student was Alicia. Well, first things first. I have bullet notes of things along this journey, which has now lasted 1 year and a few days, but 1 year. I was driving Alicia to school one morning, and I drive her to school in the mornings, and then she comes back, and Shadi gets her in the afternoon. And so we're going to school and stuff like that, and I'm thinking of things, and I'm sure she's thinking of things. And she turns to me, and she says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She says, does God understand Chinese? I said, absolutely. Not only Chinese, he can speak all languages. He understands all languages. There's no barriers with God. So I'm sure they took a load off of her. She goes, okay, we're getting somewhere. Then the next question she asked on another day was, can God help me help my parents? And things like that just have to melt your hearts because they're coming from a pure heart. It's not like, can God make me rich tomorrow? Or can God help me pass this test? Those things are available. But what's more important to her heart was her family. Was, does God understand me even if I speak to him in Chinese? On another day, I had given her a list that I thought would be helpful in her growth, not just in the family of God, but out in the world. So I gave her this list, and I'm only going to mention a few of them. And day by day, some of the words on this list started unfolding in her life. And she started to understand why I chose these words to impart. The list is like this: forgiveness, humble and meek, true success, integrity, honesty, and fruitful, to name just a few. And as we lived our days and they went day by day, she could see some of these words, how applicable they were in her life. And not just in her life, integrity means the same in our lives. So they're across the board. The next bullet note I wrote down was taking a stand, okay? And this one was really cool. When Alicia told her father and mother she is going to fellowship, and this is at our home, and more than that, she said to them, I believe in God and Jesus Christ. And the answer was, what? Her father, her mother. She goes, yes. And you know what? I love God. Man, when I heard that, I said, my job is done here. Our job is done here. But still yet, it shows her desire to know who you and I, from time to time, take for granted. You see, she was a babe in God's word, trying to stand up and start taking her first steps. Okay? I say, plant one seed, and God causes the increase. Why? Because she received a phone call from her father back in China one day, and Alicia's father asked her, can you pray for me and my business? Think about that. That is powerful. Her father, he's still way over in China. I've never spoke to him. But yet he knew the direction Alicia was headed. Now, we're not into pointing fingers at other religions, but I'm going to tell you. I'm sure he's saying, well, this statue here ain't doing nothing for me. But look at her. I could hear the joy in her voice. She's my daughter. We love her. And you know what? I'm going to give God, the one true God, a try. So he asked her, can you pray for me, my wife, family, and my business? Another moment that happened in our lives that super blessed us was we were having dinner together, Shati, Alicia, and myself. And leading up to that day, I was thinking, well, you know what? Shati and I have gotten other people an English/Spanish Bible so they can better understand God's word because it's in their idiom, and yet they're learning English at the same time. And I said, wait a minute, what about a Chinese Bible? Father, you got to show me this. Where do I even start? Logically, Berean bookstore, right? So I go there, and the guy says, no, we don't carry it. No. But I remembered God was tapping me on my brain, saying, every time you get on the 163 South to go down via Mission Valley, there's this Chinese evangelical church right there. I said, hey, why not? What's it going to hurt? So one Sunday after fellowship, I shot by there and went to the front door and knocked on it. No one home. No one answered. I said, oh, man. I said, okay, I'll try another time. So another time, Shati and I were driving. I said, you know what? I'm going to go try that church again. Who knows? Somebody's there at this time, maybe. So we go by the church, knock, 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 and sure enough, this lady comes to the door. She's, yes, can I help you? I said, look, all I ask is, do you have a Chinese Bible / English? She goes, okay, we're in a meeting. Wait, I'll be right back. So she rushes off, and I'm standing there speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, she comes to the door, and she's got this one Bible in her hand. She goes, here, will this help you? And I looked at it. I said, hold on. Oh, my God. She goes, this is the only one we have. And I said, I was ready to pay her, you know. And she says, okay, I got to go to my meeting. And this pastor comes and says, come on, we're having a meeting. I said, okay, God bless you, left. Boom. Thank you, God. So Shati being that she works for American Greetings, she's got all these packages you can put things in. So she wraps it, puts it in a bag, and makes it look all, you know, beautiful. And we're having dinner this one night, and I said, we said to Alicia, we got a little gift for you. And she goes, huh? Nice. So we put the bag on the table, and she goes, oh, and she's looking through it. And when she pulls out the Bible, her smile went from here to here. She goes, I got my Bible. And I said, this is all yours, sweetheart. And she goes, oh. So she was ecstatic. And now that's going to help her grow because she has the written word in English and in Chinese. Well, soon thereafter, she went home. And she said to us, well, should I take my Bible? And we thought, well, maybe it would cause some kind of a problem, we don't know, in China. So we said, you know what? We'll hold on to it for you. She goes, you'll take care of it? Absolutely. It'll be right here waiting for you when you get back. So she left to China, and she's here this morning, and she has her Bible. She can show it to you later, but it's awesome. It was a wonderful prayer that was answered by our Heavenly Father. Prayer time is another bullet note. We know that prayer is one of the best communicators we have with our Heavenly Father because, like God, like Bob shared, we have that spirit within us, right? And so we can have perfect prayer speaking in tongues or just talking with God. Part of our witness and our walk with Alicia was to pray, eat, and talk about God and Jesus Christ together. So we break bread every day. We pray every day. Like I said, in the mornings when we go to school, her and I have a time of prayer, and she's doing wonderful. But more than that, to see someone who knew nothing about that to where she's at now and her growth is just heartwarming. It just melts your heart. As a matter of fact, and I didn't write this down, the other morning we had a prayer, the three of us, and the things that she said sounded like a seasoned believer, but it just caused us, the three of us were at the dinner table, because the purity and the sincerity and the honesty of her heart that she shared showed us that she's on the right path. Alicia tells us how she prays for her parents and family back home, and how her father says, keep on going to fellowship. This is an example of her believing as a witness to her family. So remember how I said you plant the seed, God causes the increase? Now, she's a witness because of the witness within, you see? And so it's so neat to see that she's now a pipeline all the way back home. And she can share the joy and the realities that Christ is in her life and what God does in our life, see? There's a booklet, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's called Your Spiritual Deposit. And it talks about the witness within, the Christ within each and every one of us. So if the witness is within, then we need to let it out and share God's love. Huh? We need to let it out and share God's love. And to find good ground. There's a lot of bad ground out there, but there's also a lot of good ground out there. And that's what God is going to help us to seek and find. Okay? Now, the one verse I want to share with you this morning, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 8. This one fits Alicia to the T, like many others. Luke chapter 8. Let's look at verse 15. Luke 8:15 says, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. This keep it means to hold firmly and bring forth fruit with patience. I thought that just sums it all up as far as what has happened in her life. And I want to read you a little excerpt from Demonstrating God's Power. Listen to what this says. Regardless of attitudes or past achievements, we should look at the Christ in each person and picture him or her evidencing much fruit in his or her every endeavor. From the first time we witness God's word to the people, we should build them up towards applying the word and receiving the blessings they desire and need. We can be catalysts to inspire people's growth and help cushion them from the pressures of everyday life. We can receive, retain, and release the word together with them, helping them to build the joy of God's word in their lives, so that the word takes root in their lives and is not carried away by the deceitful lusts of the world or the pressures of life. A strong foundation thus established on God's word gives a person the stability and capability to achieve his or her highest ideals, bringing forth fruit to his full capacity. Isn't that awesome? Alicia's prayer at breakfast, Alicia prayed for guidance, and she believes that God, she told this to us, that God sent her to stay with us so she could know God and Jesus Christ. And she closed with, "I love God." The very sweet time we shared before breakfast praying brought tears of joy to our hearts, knowing how this flower is just blossoming day by day. There's no greater joy than to see one of God's children growing and exemplifying his love, because that is what God is, love. So Bob brought up a cheesecake recipe earlier, but if God is this cheesecake, you will never finish it. God always has more for you, and his ingredients are the best. So our sharing this morning is to stoke up your fire, quench not the spirit, to go out there and see what the world has for you to bring into the fold of God's family. Because we don't have enough time. Like I say many, many times, you cannot hit the rewind button in life. It's right now and forward. Somebody, I want you to look up this verse. I forget how it goes, but the gist of it is, I think it was Peter or Simon saying, "I cannot but speak God's word." You know where I'm going with this? As soon as someone finds it, please let me know. But it's like, what else is worth talking about? Yeah, you're going to talk about the Chargers. Yeah, you're going to talk about the makeup you found. Yeah, you're going to talk about the purse you bought. Yeah, you're going to talk about the shoes you own. But what is so important that you put God's word off and to be second place or second fiddle to your everyday conversation? It should be number one. And I'm telling you, look around you at school, work, or in your neighborhood, and you will see hungry people asking you in an indirect way. That is the simplest way to witness, by listening, listening. And when you hear that door going, put your foot in it, spiritually speaking. Don't let it close. Give them that safety net that they are so, so looking for, whether they realize it or not. You find the verse?
In Acts 4:19 it says, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you, for we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard."
There you go. That should be us today. And in closing, I'd like for Alicia to come on up here. Alicia, come here. Those of you who've never met her, this is Alicia.
Thank you.
So, you can go sit down. So, next time you pray for her continued growth, and let's get out there and win some more souls for God, okay? I'm going to close with a prayer. Gracious, wonderful, all-giving, all-knowing Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to hold forth your precious word, your life-giving words. Father, We may not know who that next person will be, but we know there will be a next person. So I ask that you guide each and every one of us, peculiar souls in this room, in our own way, especially with those we know, that we touch their hearts with your word. Because, Father, any day now, Christ could come back. So the more they can get on your bus, the better. And I just ask you to soften those hearts out there, to remove their pride, so that they can open up unto you, Father, and have salvation to the fullest degree. After all, our Lord and Savior died so that we could have this access to you. And like we've heard before, it's not fair that that happened with no results. Father, your word never comes back void. So we come to you with humble and meek hearts, yearning, Father, yearning to do your will, because all these other things are things that will pass away. But the spirit you've planted within us and want to give to others, Father, will last for all eternity as we await the return of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. So I thank you for the hearts here this morning. And again, Father, we are equipped to go out in this perverse world, Father, and bring in more of your children who are looking for you. So we ask you for help and the words to speak in season and out. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.